Lacey, brother and sister, HC. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia. October 30th, 1899. Dear brother and sister Lacey, we had a restful, pleasant journey home in the cars, although I did not go to the expense of securing a sleeper. Our rest was somewhat broken by the passengers getting in and out of the carriage, but for most of the time, we had the compartment to ourselves. On Wednesday evening, we left Currumbong for Sydney in response to a special message from Brother John Wessels, who wished us to see another piece of land, which it was thought would be a good location for our sanitarium. This piece of land is much larger than the one first chosen. Brother Wessels also wished to present before us the communications he had received from Africa by the last mail. The Wessels family have, they think, found a way by which they can unite their interests in the work. They propose to put all their means into the cause of God at 5% interest. This, you can see, will need careful consideration. We have had a long consultation over the matter with Elder Daniels, Brother John Wessels, and W.C. White. On Thursday morning, we took the cars to a station near Pennant Hills, where we had to wait quite a while for Brethren Daniels in Salisbury, who were to join us on their way from Sydney. We took dinner together on the ground, spreading on the ground for a tablecloth, our rug, and a large table napkin. We enjoyed our simple meal, and then looked over the ground. We found about 15 acres of orchard. Many of the trees are full of fruit, and there is a good prospect of an excellent crop of all kinds of fruit. There are 75 acres of land in all, and, I understand, we can purchase without ready money except for the first payment. We can have 12 months in which to pay the balance. The price stated is £2,200. The brethren have made an offer of £2,000, and we are waiting now to see if the owners will accept. Before we took the cars again, the weather turned quite chilly, and the wind blew quite strongly. But we did not take cold. Since coming home, however, I have been completely exhausted. Today I am quite weak, though not so dangerously so as yesterday. Since Friday, the weather has been cloudy. On Friday and Sabbath, we had some smart showers. Yesterday and today, it has been cloudy, but we have had no more rain. We expect to attend the camp meeting at Maitland. The Lord will give me strength to do so, if it is for His name's glory. We feel a deep interest in the work to be done in Toowoomba. I feel sure that if all who believe the truth will pray and work, and believe when they pray, a good work will be done there. It is not our feeble efforts that will accomplish the work which the Lord would have done, but by having the help which the Lord alone can give. It is springtime now in the natural world. Shall it not be the sowing and planting time with the workers in Australia? Shall not the seeds of truth be sown in many hearts? We hoped much from the camp meeting at Toowoomba, and we longed to see an interested congregation. We were disappointed, but we remembered the experience of Paul when he had to leave Thessalonica, and was sent by his brethren to Berea. Writing of the results of his work in Berea, Paul says, "These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few." Acts 17, verse 11, 12. We thank God for the kind, courteous spirit which was manifested towards Seventh-day Adventists at Toowoomba. This is worthy of mention. There are many men in Toowoomba to whom the Lord will bring the light of truth. The seed sown may take some time to show signs of life, but be patient. There must be first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Mark 4, verse 28. Now is your time to sow in faith and hope. Believe and wait and watch unto prayer. Do not neglect any part of your work. Be true to principle. Be valiant for the truth. Do not, my brother, shun the influential. If there are men in responsible positions in Toowoomba with whom you can become acquainted, spare no pains to do so. You must put forth the most persevering, earnest efforts for them. Your endeavors may only be in upright, noble acts, and it may seem to you that you cannot obtain access to hearts. But urge your way decidedly. If a man were drowning, you would not stand by and see him sink beneath the waves because he was a mayor, a lawyer, a minister, or a judge. neither must you leave their souls to perish. Men who have talent and influence need to understand the Word of God in its purity, that they may labor with a knowledge of what saith the Scripture regarding their duty to their God and their fellow men. Thus, while you do not neglect the work essential to win souls in the humble walks of life, you may win to Christ souls who will fill responsible places in the cause and work of God. This fallen world is in strange hands. Men rule for hire and preach for hire. In all business transactions, there is a strife for the supremacy. If Christ should walk through the streets of our cities today, few would have interest enough to follow him. Men who act a part in the government of the world have no part with Christ, who has declared, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Can they be successful statesmen who have not learned the ways and methods of the great teacher? The men in high positions of trust should be educated in the school of Christ. Our largest hope lies in securing the youth for Christ, in teaching them to love God supremely and their neighbor as themselves. Teach them to seek for the truth as for hidden treasure, and they will go forth to work earnestly for the Master. Very few have a true conception of God as the sovereign ruler of the world. Men do not study the Word of God, yet light is sown for the righteous, and truth for the upright in heart. What strength of character men might possess! The psalmist says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Those who obey the law of God will be controlled by right principles. The purity of their lives will yield a precious harvest. The man who is obedient to God's expressed commands is a waymark. He has a standard of unsullied purity. His imagination is not corrupted by dishonest practices. His pure, heaven-born principles are a safeguard to the youth. Before him, light will spring up. The value of a man is proportionate to his fear and love for God. Right will overcome might and money power. My brother, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is your privilege. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. You have a high and holy calling, and if you would have souls for your labors, take firm hold of God in prayer. Let your hold on souls be firm and strong. Let it be seen that you are intensely in earnest. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak, and exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. We have a faith of which we need not be ashamed, and we have solemn, serious work before us in laboring for souls, as they that must give an account. We need a knowledge of God, deeper, fuller, clearer than we have ever had. We need to press forward, every day receiving grace and power from the source of all power. Let me urge you, my brother, to seek for a deeper insight into the truth as it is in Jesus. Be not content with your present experience. Sink the shaft deep in the quarry of truth. Truth, eternal truth, is the treasure for which you must seek with unremitting vigilance. Do not rest until all that is superficial in your life is supplanted by a deep, fervent, solid experience. This will make you reliable in every place, because the Lord is your strength, His word your daily bread. Your religious experience will then give you spiritual sinew and muscle to brace your mind against the counterworking influence of hereditary and cultivated tendencies, which, if cherished, will always hamper you in your work and make you weak where you should be strong. Brother Lacey, do not be satisfied with your present attainments, for you have much to unlearn and learn over again. I have written unto you, young men, John writes, because you are strong. What makes them strong? Eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of God. Thus you are to grow up into Christ, your living head. For the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. 1 John 2, verse 14. This battle is to be fought over and over again. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 17. You can advance, my brother, if you see the necessity of watchfulness and fervent prayer. You are in an important place. Keep on the watch. Hear what the Spirit shall say unto you, and be obedient. The mail has just come, and I have my work before me for the next mail. God bless you both, is the prayer of your sister.